This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, that car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. On the phone lines, I am joined by the man with the news, Mr. Arif Ruse. Say hello, Arif.
Hello, Richard. Hello, everybody.
And then over there somewhere else, it's Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, and good evening, everybody.
Interesting show lined up for you today. We've got, of course, two parts to the show. Part one will be all about the news and some local news and some launches. And then in part two, a used car buying guide of a different kind. This is not something that I thought we'd ever be talking about, but here you go. It's about buying a used Toyota Alphard.
Couldn't believe it when Daniel sent the story to
right?
me.
Right?
Are we really going to do this?
No, we have to because, you know, one day soon, very soon, Arif is going to get married and, you know, within a year, he'll have quadruplets, you know, and when you have quadruplets, you need a vehicle for your wife, the quadruplets.
This is true.
You know?
This is true. Right. So enough of that and the quadruplets. You know, let's get on with some news, Mr. Arif Ruse.
Right, so the news. As everybody knows, the CMCO has been extended to November 9th, but as of today, no additional SOPs for now, but you know how the government is, and it's still just two people in a car, even though you can go to the gym and do all those things, which is still very, very weird. The other thing is, if you take public transport, RapidKL has reduced their rail and bus frequencies just to reflect the fact that there aren't many riders anymore. Yeah, and that's just pretty much it. No other real news, actually.
But you've been sat at home the entire week and you've got two pieces of news and that's it.
Well, to be fair, almost the entire automotive industry has been at home too.
That's true. Okay, I'll let you have that one then. Fair enough.
But Daniel has brought us another story other than the Toyota Alphard, which is quite interesting. It has to do with some statistics as well. And it's that the Nissan Leaf should really have more buyers. Daniel, you said that there are only 100 owners in Malaysia of the Nissan Leaf.
Okay, I'm going to explain to you how I came about the story. Number one, I was just looking at the sales figures for the Porsche Taycan. You know, 70 over bookings since its launch, which is just like a month ago. And then the Mini Cooper SE, the electric vehicle, 26 units were sold out almost immediately in a few days after its launch. And they didn't expect that kind of surge in buying, so they're ordering more to come in. But then I look at, you know, I look at the Nissan Leaf, which has been around for more than a year. It was launched, you know, June last year. And there's only been 100 or so buyers and about 10 additional people who took the subscription program at 3,500 ringgit a month. So I asked Nissan, I asked the people at Tanchong who handle Nissan brand. I said, you know, you guys have been pushing the EV adoption very strongly for the last 7 years. You know, 2013, they launched the first Nissan Leaf. They put up 15 charging stations. They did so much work to promote Nissan Leaf ownership and electric car ownership. Of course, yes, it was, you know, 7 years ago, nobody even wanted to think about it, but they were there. They were the first to come out with it. And then Tanchong also has the franchise for Renault, and then they brought in the Zoe electric vehicle, and they did the same thing with that. They set up charging stations. They're trying to push a few cars. But then people are not taking these cars. But when a luxury or a stylish EV comes into the market, my God, the way people rush and buy them, that shows me that the people going into the EV market, apart from the current Nissan Leaf owners, are not really people interested in green motoring or the environment or CO2 emissions. They just want neck-snapping acceleration, style. They want a conversation piece. They want to arrive at some destination. People say, hey, bro, your car is really quiet. What happened? Oh, no, it's an electric Mini. It's an electric Porsche.
Yeah.
And if you go on social media today, there are so many people who can't afford these cars who are going and test driving, going to showroom, taking selfies and sharing, oh, I saw the Taycan, blah, 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 blah. But nobody's going into a Tanchong showroom and taking selfies with a Leaf and saying, this is the number one selling EV in the world. It's got some of the best ratings. It's got the best reliability. And at the moment, it's the cheapest proper EV you can buy in Malaysia.
But it's still if you're doing the subscription thing, it's still what, $3,500 a month?
Yeah.
That's not cheap.
Yeah, but sad to say, EVs are not cheap. To produce EVs are not cheap, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no tax concession in Malaysia. Mm. But if you're talking about being green and, you know, you want to be so environmentally friendly, why are you rushing across to buy a supercar EV or a stylish EV and not a basic run-of-the-mill common sense EV?
It's always been priced in that sort of gray area, right? I remember I was reading about something related to the adoption of EVs in America back then, and they were saying when people adopted the first Apple iPhones or the iPods, these were, you know, premium products that only a certain group of people could afford. It's the same with cars. And that's something I feel like electric cars have to go through in Malaysia first.
I think not just in Malaysia, I think worldwide. And there's an aspirational thing to this as well.
True.
Given the choice between a Nissan Leaf and a Porsche Taycan, if you can afford them, if you can afford the Porsche Taycan, of course, I think more people will go for that. I would if I'd got the money, because like you say, it's the idea of like, when you look at EV cars and you think about what the future for them has held and predicted for us, the Taycan is kind of there at the pinnacle of it, you know?
Yeah, and you get the feeling that if you own a Taycan, it will forever be a future EV classic. Whereas if you buy a Nissan, you know, you can't really tell people.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the point of 3,500 ringgit a month, if I remember correctly, to subscribe to a Renault Koleos, which is their SUV, sold by Tan Chong as well, that's what, 3,200? And if you top up another 200 over the 3,500 a month that you can use for the EV, you get a Renault Megane RS,
which is so inviting.
Yeah. So why would anybody want to buy a small car that's more expensive if it doesn't really benefit them?
I love the idea of electric cars and EVs, and I always have done it. And that, you know, my dream, ridiculous as it sounds, guys, I know you two are both petrol heads, you know, but that's been my dream, is to have a sporty, affordable, fast electric car, because in my head, batteries should be cheaper than petrol. I know they're not, but they should be.
They should, yeah.
Well, we're moving towards that direction. And, you know, in the next 4 to 5 years, I think with the movement coming, especially from China, batteries will be cheaper and EVs will be cheaper than their petrol rivals. But the thing is, are we ready to have EVs in Malaysia when we are not having enough charging stations as yet?
No, we're not. Yeah. It's because they haven't taken up my idea of turning all light poles into charging stations. Once they do that, then we'll be fine.
We remember that. That's being done in UK right now. I know that's a great idea, Richard. But the problem is, I did some checking. We don't have enough juice running through for them to install chargers at every light post.
Yeah, they gotta upgrade all the cables, all the undergrounds, right?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm sure somebody will get a contract for that. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, it might be Arif.
Come on, man.
Because, you know, demographically, Richard, you and me, we're not going to get it.
Of course not. We should probably move on, shouldn't we?
Exactly.
Have a chat about some local car launches.
Yeah, so last week we mentioned that the BMW Malaysia are bringing two extra models to the 3 Series lineup, and that is the 330e, which is kind of like a mid-high spec model for the new 3 Series, but it's priced lower than the 330i at 264,000 ringgit. The other car that they brought in was the M340i, which is the best-specced 3 Series that you can get nowadays. Mm. 402,000 ringgit, 18,000 ringgit cheaper than the Mercedes C43 AMG. So that's pretty interesting. But, you know, there's four models now in the 3 Series lineup. There's the 320i, which is 250,000 ringgit. Slightly more expensive, but a mid-high spec car at the 330e at 264,000. Then you have basically the same model, but without a few bits and pieces in the 330i, which is 30,000 ringgit more expensive than the hybrid version. And then at the top is the M340i, but why do you bring the 330e and the 330i? Because in Thailand, they don't have the 330i model. But I guess the question I have for you guys is, why would they bring a hybrid model that's almost identical to the petrol model when the petrol model is 30,000 ringgit more expensive?
Well, to start, I think number one, BMW is trying to push this, you know, EV, plug-in hybrid, low emission agenda across the world. Number two, I think the tax concessions on this car gives them a healthier profit against their petrol version. And the final reason is they've already put so many 330Es, the previous model, on the road. It's a great time for all these people to move up to this model.
And I guess I don't want to say BMW purists, but for BMW purists, the 330i, you know, it's a lot lighter than the 330e. It's less complicated. You don't have to deal with a hybrid battery and everything. But it's just that the premium on that over the hybrid version kind of makes you think that it's probably not worth it to get the petrol version anymore. You might as well just get a 320i and deal with less of the kit. But, you know, that's a different conversation, I guess.
Ooh, Arif, what are you talking about?
It's just a little bit confusing with me. I guess I should ask these questions to the BMW guys when I meet them.
No, actually, what you should do, Arif, when you're free, walk into a BMW showroom and be a mystery shopper and see what happens.
Yeah, I should put a hidden camera in my pocket too.
Yes, and then you get the real story behind this.
This week, there was a really, really big launch that was delayed, and it's the new Proton X50. And Daniel, I have to admit, I didn't manage to attend the launch that was online. So what can you tell us about it?
Okay, first of all, the online launch, I like the fact that it was not too long. It was very quick, I think less than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Number two, as the launch was going on, the numbers of viewers were just jumping from 3,000 to 15,000 to 16,000. The thing is, okay, Proton being Proton, you know, they did a good launch. They went straight to the point. They start talking about features. They start talking about SOPs. They start talking about, you know, the economy and how the whole ecosystem of the government came in to help them get the price right. Now, four variants. Now, no surprise on the prices. No surprise at all on the prices. The standard version, which is the bare-bones version, and even though it's a bare-bones version, it still carries the same engine as the high-spec flagship version, which is the most important thing. It's all the little toys that come in between that we have to concentrate about. But the base standard version comes in at 79,000 ringgit, which is about 10,000 ringgit more than the Perdua Arus. Now, officially, they are not direct rivals, but in price point, they are direct rivals. Once, of course, one is a 7-seater. This is a 5-seater. You know, the Perdua Arus is it's a versatile vehicle. This is not as versatile as the Arus. But still, a lot of people in this price category will say, do I actually need an Arus or do I need an X50 standard model at 79,000? Now, next up, you get the Executive. This one adds a little bit more kit. And I think the kit that is added on makes it worth that extra 6,000 you're paying. Because number one, you now get 6 airbags instead of 4 airbags. You get the same engine, of course. You get front parking sensors, which Malaysians need nowadays because they don't know how to park. Auto headlamps because their hands don't know how to operate the headlamp button when it gets dark. They get fog lamps because we have very foggy conditions, especially in our winter climate in Malaysia.
Okay. This is true. Yes, yes.
Okay, and you get a reverse camera, which is much needed because a lot of people do not know how to park their cars. So all this is for 85,000 ringgit. I'm going to say this, and I'm quite sure a lot of people, when they walk in to look at the standard, will say, it's okay, I'll buy the Executive because it's only 6,000 ringgit more. My monthly installment will just go up maybe by 50, 60, 70 ringgit. No big deal. Because I need all these little features and that extra 2 airbags. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's worth it for the 2 extra airbags.
Yeah. And I think this will be the one that sells out, right? This is the one to get in terms of how well priced and packaged it is.
And then the next level up, you get the premium. They use the word premium and they charge you 93,000 ringgit. So what you get for it? First of all, you get red calipers, a must have in Malaysia because Malaysians without red calipers, car not sporty. A bit of splash of red paint and your car is sporty. Next, you get 18-inch wheels. This is when 6 or 7 or 8 months down the road, all the owners who buy this and live in Klang Valley will start complaining that their rims are bent, the tires are damaged because of our potholes and everything else. Okay? Then you get the red and black two-tone interior, which is nice. But what if your car is blue or black or any other color and you get a red and black two-tone interior?
It only comes in red and black. There's no other choices.
Exactly. Nope. And then you get electric seats. Now, electric seats are very important because then you can tell your people around you, my car, the seat can move by itself. Huh? And then, very important, you get that 10.25-inch touchscreen. Because why? You don't have a smartphone in your pocket. You need a touchscreen on your car dashboard, okay? And you get app connectivity. You get a lot of features, auto climate control, and everything else. And this is what Malaysians want. They want all these toys. And even though it's 8,000 ringgit more, I think there will be another group of Malaysians who say, I must have the red caliper. I must have the bigger wheels. I must have that touchscreen. That touchscreen is very important.
I think this, the premium line also will be very good for people. Like I would immediately imagine those people who want to move up from a Pura to a Myvi and they realize they don't need a Corolla. So they just look at one of these. It still has all the tech, 360 camera, yes. Digital cluster, app connectivity, like you said, and added red calipers. You know what? It seems sporty and it seems seems more fun, I guess.
It is. And then comes the flagship. You see, above the premium comes the flagship. And the flagship is truly the flagship. I mean, the top of the range X50 has got more kit than the Volvo XC40, which is almost 100,000 ringgit plus more.
Yeah.
Okay? So you get, first of all, the most important thing, you get a two-tone paint job. Very important. Yes. And then you get that panoramic sunroof because when you drive, you want to see the stars. Okay? You want to see the stars. Okay? You get powered sun blinds. Very important because on that sunny day, you want your sun blinds up, but you still want to see the sun on top of you. And then you get rain sensing wipers because then again, a lot of drivers find it very difficult to find their wipers when it starts raining. Okay? So this one has rain sensing wipers. A lot of tech, a lot of kit, a lot of toys to play with. You know, things like you can pair it with your phone. You can start the car, get the aircon running from your phone. You know, these are little things people love to do when they're sitting in the Kopitiam. The car is parked outside. There's a couple of people coming and admiring the car. From the Kopitiam, they'll start the car, vroom, and then they'll switch on the aircon and people around the car will get impressed and say, wow, this car is like, you know, Knight Rider kit. It can, you know, start by itself with the AC running. I mean, these are all great features. But don't worry, the car cannot be stolen because the car is still locked. Only the owner can come and unlock the car. So people can't get in the car and steal it. Very important. Then, on the flagship, you get ADAS, which is Adaptive Cruise Control, Lane Assist, Auto High Beam, and very important, Park Assist. Because I heard that all driving schools in Malaysia do not teach Malaysians how to drive and park their car. So you need to get Park Assist to help you park the car.
Can I just interrupt just for a second here?
Yes, Richard.
I'm detecting a slight amount of sarcasm in this.
In this presentation of the Proton X50.
Yes. Yeah. Why is that? Why so snarky?
Okay, I'll tell you why. Because when this car was first introduced, I honestly, guys, I think this is a fantastic product. Great features. The engine comes from Geely and Volvo. Mm. Loaded with a lot of tech. It's all great. But every YouTuber that I watched or, you know, when people shared with me, all they talked about was ADAS, Park Assist, moonroof, I mean, which is the panoramic sunroof, the powered sun blinds, the auto headlights, the auto sensing wipers. I mean, come on, these are not features which gravitate you to buy a car. These are things you should be able to do with your hands and legs. You know what I mean?
I mean,
the most important features you should be talking about the car is the safety features, the drivability, the comfort.
When you're going through the like the pricings, you know, six airbags you don't get until you buy the executive model.
Right.
In my mind, that should come as standard. I think, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a little old fuddy-duddy, but safety should be the first priority for sure.
I agree with you. But you see, the thing is, they probably wanted to have six airbags in all the vehicles. But, you know, whenever you add airbags, you add cost to a car. So they would have definitely wanted to have one really basic model to reach out to customers who are coming from $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 cars.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Which means these are the people who can barely make it, you know, and then this will be, you know, something like they can use for part-time Grab or Moolah or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's really, they've broken down each market price very, very well and they've spec'd this car perfectly to all of those points.
Yes.
I mean, for 103,000, you're trying to attract people who would consider a Mazda 2 or a Mazda 3 or something like that, right? Yeah. And it has more equipment actually than those cars. And in fact, even if you look at the standard version, this is way more equipment than Proton has ever given in their Previ Highline,
right,
which is already something to be proud of.
Like I said, this guy's got more kit than the Volvo XC40 costing 120,000 ringgit more.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting down the Volvo, but the thing is, because it's coming from China and they're mass-produced and they're doing local assembly and they can work with a lot of vendors, they've got a fantastic pricing on a really good-looking product. And did I mention the colors available? Snow white without the dwarfs, armor silver, ocean blue, jet gray, citric orange, passion red. So my suggestion is, if you're looking at ocean blue or citric orange, be very careful, because for the premium model, you got a red and black two-tone interior.
I was just going to say the same thing. Bit of a clash there, citric orange and red and black.
Yeah. So citric orange and ocean blue will not go with a red and black interior unless you're colorblind.
Wow. On that note then, shall we take a short break?
I think we need to.
Yeah.
I think we'll let Daniel catch his breath. Of course, you are tuning to Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9. So far, we've had some news where there's really not an awful lot of news. The CMCO has been extended, of course. No additional SOPs. Rapid KL, though, have reduced rail and bus frequencies. The Nissan Leaf should have more buyers. But if you want to hear more about that, listen back to the podcast. It's available wherever you get your normal podcast from. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will be talking about buying, and get this, folks, a Toyota Alphard used MPV. Yeah, an Alphard here on BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. I'm joined on the phone lines by Arif Roux. Say hello, Arif.
Hello, everybody.
And of course, over there, it's Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello, Daniel.
Good evening, everybody, and hello.
If you're only just tuning in, of course, we started off with a little bit of news. We then had some local and, local car launches. Now we are going to be looking at buying a used container, I guess. It's the Toyota Alphard.
Why are you so against the Alphard, Richard?
Well, you know where I live, right?
Yeah, but you see, if I look at an Alphard, and then if I look at you standing up, this is the car that fits you.
Ironically, when I left the office yesterday, I ordered myself a Grab.
Okay.
And I ordered a normal Grab. Right. And it wasn't a Toyota Alphard that turned up. It was the Hyundai equivalent of the Alphard, which is...
The Starex.
The Starex, yes. I felt like a celebrity. So anybody that gets in like something like that, these huge MPVs, I would imagine feels somewhat like that. Either that or they've got a large family like Arif, you know. But why did you choose to go with an Alphard?
Okay, to start with, the reason why you had a Starex come and pick you up is because when they saw your request, they immediately knew that you were a celebrity from, you know, BFM doing cruise control. And they said, we cannot send anything less and the company will absorb the extra charges and still charge you for the budget car. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, normally they send me a Myvi, so, you know, it was a bit of a step up. Yeah.
Yes. So why did I start with the Toyota Alphard? Now, I've got you know, kids, and I've got my father-in-law staying with me, and I've got a housekeeper staying with me. But I don't have an Alphard, even though I actually need one, because my kids are growing up, you know, we need the space and everything else. But I have a very small, compact, 20-year-old MPV.
Which is?
A Nissan Liberty.
Oh.
It's about the size of a Toyota Wish, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And every time we go out as a family, you know, my eldest son will complain, oh, it's a bit tight in here. And my housekeeper will say, oh, you know, the door is a bit sticky. But the thing is, it's not that I don't want to buy an Alphard. I don't see the need just to go out maybe once a week with the family, with the whole family, to get something that big and start a whole new payment process and everything else. So I've always looked at the Toyota Alphard and said, well, you know, it's big, it's nice, but I don't think so, because I don't have an expat salary like Richard. So I used to just live with having, you know, my own cars. And then once in a while, if I get a nice MPV to test drive, it's fun. We can all go somewhere.
Mm.
But a lot of times people come and ask me, like I said, is it good to buy this? Is it good to buy that? Is it good to buy that? This time, nobody came and asked me whether it's good to buy an Alphard. What happened is a friend of mine said, dude, I need to sell my Alphard. I've stopped using it. My kids have all gone overseas to study. You know, they're not coming back. It's just me and my wife. And, you know, occasionally we have maybe one or two visitors. So I can manage with my sedan. So I'm going to sell my Alphard. And I said, so why are you telling me? No, I think you should buy it because you need it more than me. I said, hello, friend. I don't need it more than you just because, you know, I still got my old MPV. But then I thought about it. I said, okay. I said, how much you want to sell it for? So he gave me his price. And then I was shocked. I said, why are you asking such a low price? He said, no, that's the market value because we are not out there tracking values of every single vehicle every day, you know? So I said, is that all you can get? He said, yes. And then when he mentioned the price, which was 50,000 ringgit, you know? And I said,
yeah.
I think that's a bit low because, you know, you paid almost 300,000 when it came out new. And
what year is it?
Year 2006, Toyota Alphard. And he bought it. It was a recon car, but it was like 1 year old. So it was almost new. It, you know, it still had plastic wrap on the sun visors and the rear seats and everything else. So I said, you know, you've had the car, good condition, everything else. Now, in the span of 1 day of just chatting with him once or twice, he had sold it.
Oh.
He had sold it because he put it out to all his friends. One friend came over and said, Pop, I'll take the car from you, gone. So I decided to do a little bit of research on the Alphard. And yes, they're all going for that price. So I thought I'll do a little article, you know, share what I found out and share what I could find out from my friend and everything else about the Alphard. Mm. But to start with, this is a big vehicle. And even though it came out in the year 2002 and the facelift came out in 2008 and the complete new model came out later, the size of the vehicle has not changed very much. The shape has not changed very much. It's just the exterior and the interior. So when you talk about exterior, you know, the older one, like you see in the pictures, it's a little bit more sedate. It's not so, I would say, garish. There's less chrome.
Yeah.
New ones look like something that's space age, you know?
Or something the A-team would drive.
But the interior has gone from being luxury to being uber luxury. I mean, really super luxury.
Yeah.
If you look at the current model one, I think it's fantastic. It's what a lot of, I think corporate tycoons should be using to get to and fro meetings instead of getting into a sedan because it's so easy to get in and out. Those middle rows captain seats are so comfortable. It's like a business class seat in a defunct airline, you know?
They are comfortable, yeah.
Yes. And, you know, you've got air conditioning vents everywhere and the ride comfort is fantastic. But now we're talking about a slightly older model. So we're talking about the model between 2002 and 2008, like the one my friend sold. So when I did a survey on the classifieds, surprisingly, there were many units for sale. And the one that caught my eye was a 2007 unit, a 3-liter, which is a facelift, and it's called the Premium High Spec. Now, I took a screen capture, I added it into the article. Now, there were so many others for sale, but the rest you could see, you know, the interior, the door panels and the seats, the fabric did match the color. So that means, you know, the car has been abused and the car dealer probably reupholstered the seats. The other thing I also found out talking to a few mechanics of mine, there's a lot of these coming in half cut. That means from Japan, you know, the scrap cars. And what they do is they pack the interiors separately than the vehicle because the interiors are still very good. The ones can come from Japan. And then there are older Alphard owners who go rip out their interior and install the recon interior.
Does this happen with a lot of other cars?
It does happen, but it's not so obvious. But with MPVs, it's more obvious simply because a lot of these Alphards came in so many variants. So some had very basic seats in the middle row and third row. So they want to get the captain seat. They want to get the revolving seat. And then also, you know, you get full leather because some came with cloth. On top of that, if you have an MPV in Malaysia, let's not even talk about MPV. Some people, you go into their cars, it's like a tip, you know. People eat, drink, they spill, babies vomit in the car, grown-ups vomit in the car, you know, whatever else. And then they try and clean off their stains and then cockroaches come in and everything else come in. And then there's a whole community inside the car cabin. So can you imagine in an MPV, the community is like a small farm.
Yeah.
You know? And the other thing is also, a lot of them, they don't strap their kids into these cars. So they're walking up and down from the back and front. They're holding a drink. They're holding their milk. They're holding some soft drink. It spills whenever they brake or when, you know, they take a corner. and then they just wipe it off with a wet wipe, and then the stain sits there, the all the chemicals and whatever else still sits there, and then cockroaches come in, ants come in, all kinds of things come in. People, you know, they go hiking, they go doing outdoor activities, they come in with their dirty feet, they say, oh, never mind, we'll clean it up later. Now, you can go to a car wash. The car wash can only do so much. You can go to a detailer. If you're going to a top-notch detailer, you're paying 600-800 ringgit to get something that is cleaned up. They don't do that. They go to Mr. down the road, pay him like 50 bucks and say, listen, get my car clean. And that's about it, you know? So what I found out is a lot of these guys have been swapping the interiors. Now, when they swap the interior, they always fail to do one swap, which is the door panels.
Yeah.
Because the door panels don't get dirty.
And they're usually quite much harder to find. You usually have to pick them up from salvages, right?
Exactly. So when they install the interior, you can tell the difference between the recon interior against the door panels. They will not match. So that's the first sign that the car interior has been changed to fool you. Second thing is the rubber on the pedals, worn or not worn. The sidestep, worn or not worn. The steering wheel, buttons, knobs, you know, climate control switches. These are the things you want to watch out for to see whether they are worn against the really nice seats. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the next problem is this car a high mileage or a low mileage? Now, nearly all of them are coming from used car dealers. So the first thing you see is king of car. So you wonder, which king owned this car? Okay? Then they say doctor owned or, you know, dato owned. So doctors and datos, it's the same thing. Then they go, oh, you know, one owner. Okay, one owner, show me the bills. Show me proof. Because why? Modern registration cards don't show the previous owners.
Yeah.
If you bought a car 15, 20, 30 years ago, your reg card will show all the owners, previous owners' names there and addresses. But today, when you go and buy a second-hand car, they give you a new reg card. You don't know how many owners. You know, of course, you can do a check, but generally, they don't show you. So you want to see service record. Now, assuming the dealer tells you, no, I don't have the service record for the last 13 years or 14 years. Fine. At least show me for the last 2 or 3 years. Because from the last 2 or 3 years, I can tell whether this car has done all its consumables, has done all its wear and tear, and has been looked after.
Yeah.
Okay? Next, very, very important. Go for a test drive. Don't go fast. Go slow. Listen out. Switch off the aircon blower to... Switch down the aircon blower to maybe 1. Don't have it blowing so hard so you got noise. Turn off the radio. Drive slowly. Go over a few bumps and creases on the road because why? There's many on our roads. So you can hear for creaks and groans. Why you want to hear for creaks and groans? Because a lot of these Alphards have been in really bad accidents.
Mm.
So you want to hear whether there's body fatigue, there's chassis fatigue, you know? And also, when you have swapped interiors in an Alphard, you know, a lot of times they forget to reinstall the rubber mounts and everything else. So you'll get metal, grating against metal. So you can hear all these little sounds. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the other problem with buying a used Alphard, especially this model, because the newer models have not come into the market yet for the next part of my explanation. A lot of hotels have been using this Alphard to ferry their VIP guests.
Yep. We've seen those.
Yes. So you got to worry about, you know, if it's used for something like this, you know, it's run and maintained by the hotel chauffeur or driver. He's not going to have any love for this vehicle. He's not going to be watching it carefully to make sure that it's well maintained. So you need to check the history. Number two, a lot of these Alphards have now become long distance taxis. I know this for a fact because way before COVID and way before lockdown, I have a lot of relatives in Singapore who rather take Alphard taxi from Singapore to KL then fly.
Ah, interesting.
Yes, they have plenty of these. They use them quite often. They're all Malaysian registered, Malaysian owners. What they do is, the business is such, they charge you between 400 to 500 ringgit per trip.
What?
Okay.
Is that cheaper than a flight?
Now, think about this. If you're a family of 4 or more and you got a lot of luggage, they come and pick you up from wherever you stay in Singapore, door to door, they drop you in KL. Now, if you're flying, you got to find your way to the airport. That's one taxi cost. And then you got to take all your luggage. And then you got to go through all the airport things. Then you got to have a drink and food at the airport, which costs double. Then you arrive in Malaysia. Then I have to go and pick you up from the airport, which is cost to me, you know? So when they use this taxi service door to door, it's very economical. It's very convenient. And it's a lot better because you can stop when you want to have a toilet break or when you want to have something to eat along the way. And the drivers, they don't speed. They keep the speed limit. But I've seen the condition of these vehicles when they arrive and when they come to pick them up to send them back. They are in terrible condition. Because why? You're having strangers in your vehicle every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to top it off, the mileages, you're talking about 400, 500, 600,000 kilometers. But when it's time to sell, it's all wound back to 40, 60, 70, 80.
Yeah.
So this is what you got to look out for. That's why the 2 to 3 year service history, the interior check, the little test drive with everything quiet makes a difference.
You're saying then that you can pick up a fairly decent 2007 facelift for about 50,000 ringgit.
50,000 ringgit is a starting price. Now, I made just a couple of calls. I didn't go to visit anyone. From my phone calls, I managed to bring two of them, the prices down to 47 and 44. So the one which I shared went down to 47. The other one, which I didn't share because the picture wasn't very nice, it went down to about 44,000. So first of all, the dealers are a little bit desperate because there's a lot of these units for sale. Secondly, I think if you went there personally and talked to them, you could even push the price down a bit further. But end of the day, below 50,000, you get yourself a family vehicle, decent, good quality, 5 to 8 years of trouble-free motoring.
Interesting.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. There you go then. That's what you should do if you want to buy yourself a second-hand Alphard.
If you want to be part of that class.
Daniel, so genuinely speaking, yes. Would you see yourself buying a decent second-hand one then if the opportunity presented itself again?
Okay. You see, after my friend offered his car to me, his Alphard to me, I actually went back and thought about it and said, you know, how much can I get for my current Nissan MPV? If I can get a decent enough price, I would actually consider topping up and actually getting his vehicle because I know he looks after it. I know it's a one owner. I know the service history. I know his kids have not abused the interior. But before I could even consider all those, he had sold it. And that shows the popularity of this vehicle. So yes, I would probably get one maybe next year, maybe the year after. I don't know because I don't think my kids are going to go overseas and study for the next few years. And they're going to be tall. You know, there's going to be more gear to carry. I think, yes, because by then the price will probably be just about 40,000 ringgit. And that's not a lot of money for a lot of car.
You're right.
I don't know. I just don't see like these big premium SUVs and MPVs, which is like, you know, I would bundle the Velfire, Alphard, even the GLS Mercedes, the BMW X7 into one because if you want to chauffeur people around, you buy an S-Class. If you want to chauffeur 7 people around, you buy a Nissan Serena Hybrid.
Okay.
It just makes more sense to me.
I totally agree with your point, Arif. But understand this. You see, if you buy a Nissan Serena Hybrid, it's got good space. It's economical. It's a nicely built car. A lot of cubby holes, a lot of, you know, power points, this, that, everything. But if you happen to get married, and your wife says, hey, you know, so-and-so has got an Alphard, so-and-so has got an Alphard, so-and-so has got an Alphard, and we have got a Serena Hybrid, that's when the peer pressure will push you to buy an Alphard.
No, you say go marry them, la.
Ah, so that's why Arif is not married yet.
So, right, okay, yeah. So used Alphard is 50 grand. A brand new one is almost 350, right?
Yes.
I don't know. I just don't see the value in that. I just think that...
I can understand why you don't see the value because when I bought my Nissan also, the Alphard was around. I didn't see the value of the Alphard because I had only 2 children. I didn't have quadruplets.
Yeah.
So when you get married and have your quadruplets and you're thinking, you know, I have to get the big pram, I have to get all that equipment, the bottles, the backpacks. I need a vehicle that's big enough for all of them to get in and out and I need enough space to put all those baby seats.
So my family has 6 people in it.
Right.
All our lives we survived with Mercedes 300 TE, the old W124 wagon.
Oh,
station
nice,
wagon.
Nice.
We had a SsangYong Rexton, 7-seater. Right. Now we have a Hyundai Santa Fe.
Right.
That does it just fine. There is no need for something that big.
But you grew up in a time, like how I grew up in a time, and also Richard, when baby seats were not mandatory. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, nobody was worried about the kind of accidents that happen today. And the third and most important thing, you know, I think somehow or other in the previous years, drivers were more careful, more attentive because why? They didn't have handphones, they didn't have infotainment system, they didn't have all these fancy gadgets to distract their attention when they were on the road. Today, everybody is distracted. Even the motorcyclist, even the cyclist is distracted. So accidents are happening all over the place.
On that note, we should wrap up.
I totally agree.
Believe it or not, this has been Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9. We started off, of course, with a little bit of news about how the CMCO, of course, has been extended. You've all heard about this, extending until November the 9th with no additional SOPs. For now, still just two people in a car. Rapid KL have reduced rail and bus frequencies. A little bit about the Nissan Leaf, if you want to hear about that. Tune into the podcast, have a listen to that wherever you normally get your podcasts from. And then, of course, we had a buyer's guide for a used Toyota Alphard. If you missed any part of the show, the podcast is up. You can listen back to it at your leisure, wherever you normally get it from. I'd recommend using the BFM app, which is available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. If you don't want to do that, we're on Spotify as well. On behalf of Arif Ruz and Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my, my name is Richard Bradbury for BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to BFM.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.